Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is The Passion according to St. Luke. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the third part. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. They kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found nothing in him, no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, and he delivered Jesus over to their will. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Bible is not a puzzle or a curiosity for us, and neither is life in this world. Prophecy is not for amusement. It is for telling and proclaiming the Lord's own word, and that word has a purpose. Christ will not satisfy the curiosity of Herod. He will not satisfy the curiosity of the priests and the scribes. He will not come out and say it plainly. What is the truth? What would it matter if they would not believe it? If they would not jump up and confess it themselves, not only from mouth, but from heart, with faith? And thus, with everyone that Jesus talks with today, they say so. And Jesus appears to be coy with them all. But he never has been so. He has sought them. He has sought them with his word that they would believe in him, that they would not just say so, but that they would know and trust so. He seeks us in his passion also. He seeks us by means of this passion that we hear, by means of his word still, this tale of truth, that we would come to the very same conclusion as Pilate and as Herod do, according to their offices, that there is no guilt in him, that there's nothing worthy of death in Jesus. And that we would also press on to ask why that is so. For whom then is he going? To what end? Very few why questions in this life have a very clear answer to us, unless they're only on the level of puzzles or curiosities. But this why question, why this passion? This one is different. This one holds the key to bearing with all of the other things for which we cry out, why? To see that the Lord does not die for himself, that he does not suffer for any of his own sins, and to see instead that he does it for us. To see that he bears injustice so that he can bring about good. To see that he is the Christ, of course, the Son of Man, the King of the Jews, but that he has this title because he is appointed and anointed for a very important task, for an essential purpose, for a will that is not his own, and thus the clamor that he preaches is not for himself either. It is not only for interest either. Indifference sometimes says so. Indifference can sometimes even produce the right words, but it comes to nothing. Actually, as we see here in today's reading, it comes to even more than that. It comes to every miserable injustice in the world. It comes to wicked acts of hatred with every mockery and cruelty. That's what indifference produces. That's what sarcasm, that's what most of our conversations yield. Such is our way of shrugging off things that are weighty, things like our own sins, that we tend to laugh off more than ever. But dear Christians, do not remain indifferent. Be moved this week. Be moved by this passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the answer to the why here is not a clever riddle. It is not logic. It is not a legal justification or loophole for why this all probably has a good reason. It is not a good intention at all on the part of any of these characters, not on our part either. The answer is in the Lord's sincere and solemn purpose as the Christ. And that purpose is to regain us. It's to release us. It's to save his people from their sins. It's to bind us to himself, not indifferently or of necessity, but with cords of love that draw us to himself, to bring us out of all of this world's mess and confusion and silliness into his integrity and into his true and lasting kingdom, where he reigns in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.